This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Saturday Quiz. I'm your host, John Leary, and every week I'm joined by a different pair of guests who try to answer the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper. Now, I have it on good authority that this week's guests do the quiz together of their own volition, so I'm expecting big things. My first guest has a PhD in criminal law, is admitted to legal practice in New York and Victoria, as well as being an award-winning writer of the absolute cracker of a book, The Trauma Cleaner, with her new book, The Believer, having just been released earlier this year. And my other guest is her husband. He's been on TV and stuff. Welcome to the show, Sarah Krasnerstein and Charlie Pickering.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for having me as your plus one, Sarah.
Sorry to diminish your achievements, Charlie.
But, no, I have no official achievements, so I'm happy to bask in Sarah's glory on all that.
And you do the quiz of a Saturday morning?
Yes, we do. When we're not running in three directions with two kids, which like Saturday morning does get dominated by that, but we do. We always read the Saturday paper and we always try to do the quiz.
Yeah. Excellent. And how do you think you do normally?
I think we do extremely well when no one's listening.
Yeah, when it's not verified.
Yeah.
When there's a self-assessment. Do you know what I am a victim of? I do it online and, you know, you've got that little red arrow that you can click to reveal the answer of the question that you're looking at. I'm a bit of a bandit for... Yeah, I did know that.
You kind of lock something in your own head.
I answer it in my head and I go, and that is also what I thought the answer was.
I have to admit, I somewhat do the same. Mentally, you cover your bases by going, well, it's probably this, but I will also think X and Y as well.
Yes.
And if it is X or Y, you go, well, yeah, I'll take the point on that one.
Yeah, that's like if there's a multiple choice question, we're inclined to go, B and D.
Yeah, just for safety. Would either of you think that you have a area of expertise?
I think Sarah has areas of expertise. I mean, you've touched on them. Law and literature, I think you're very good at.
Yeah. I don't want to have too much hubris here. Sports, not good at Australian sports. I will always, that's why the Aussie Trivial Pursuit. I'm like, no more of this.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You get all the other colours except for, what colour is sport?
I want to say green, but I don't think that's...
No, I think in Australian Trivial Pursuit, it's orange, is it?
Oh, is it?
In Australian...
I thought that was arts and entertainment.
Oh, maybe it is.
Or is that pink? Anyway.
There's a pleasing pink. There's a pleasing shade of pink. Yes. Anyway, yeah.
Well, that's not one of the questions.
Oh, so what are the colours on Australian Trivial Pursuit?
Yeah.
That's good. That's a relief. I mean, if you've got any Scottish Terrier-based questions, I'm going to be pretty... Terriers in general, I'm definitely a strong subject.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a Scottish Terrier?
We do have a Scottish Terrier, Kennedy.
More than one? Or just one?
Just one.
We did have a Scotty and a Westie, but now we just have a Scotty.
Oh.
And, you know, before I met Sarah, I fostered the dream of one day breeding my own terrier, my own type of, you know, like...
Oh, a Pickering terrier.
The Pickering terrier.
Hybrid.
But
the
moment you have a significant other person in your life, you realise dog breeding probably isn't in the mix as well. It's hard to combine an actual relationship and being a dog breeder.
Do you think all dog breeders are naturally single? Is that what you're getting at?
What I would say, no. Obviously, I've met dog breeders and they are in couples, but there's always, in any pack, a dominant one in the pack. So normally it would be the dog breeder who has the breeding interest is the dominant one of the pack, of my observation.
That's taken a very odd turn. I think if Charlie did commit to breeding dogs professionally...
You might leave him? Is that what
I don't think it would be a deal breaker, but what would be difficult would be he would not... I can't see him selling the dogs or giving them away. And so it would just be like this accumulating animal hoarding situation, which I'm not cool with. So
yeah.
That's what would happen.
No, wow.
There is absolutely no way she would stick around if I started breeding dogs. Yeah.
You might have to get, what's the
no
name
way.
In? The trauma cleaner.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, yeah, exactly.
Or
we'd
just
have
a,
our own.
Definitely a cleaner of some kind.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We will get to the quiz, I promise you. But I finished your book today. I finished Trauma Cleaner today.
Thank you. You've done your homework. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Text in the mail.
It's a cracker. It's exceptional.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed, really, by...
That's very kind. Well, don't make the mistake of thinking that our home is very clean and tidy as a result of that. Writing about squalor and not really implementing any anti-squalor measures in our own space.
But I will say that for Sarah to go to a lot of those sites completely ran counter to the level of filth that you're comfortable with in life.
There's it took amusement here.
It was like overcoming a phobia to go to those places.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Remarkable. Remarkable.
Wow.
There were clothes that I think were burned immediately after.
Yeah, there was
some
a very
visits.
Elaborate process of not cross-contaminating.
Yeah.
I remember one house I dropped my pen and I did not
pick up
the pen again.
That's gone forever.
I was like, I'm just gonna observe now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It really is something.
Thank
anyway,
you.
It's
Thanks.
Time we got stuck into the quiz, so we'll be back with the questions right after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined this week by Sarah Krasnostein and Charlie Pickering, and this is question number one. Which Sigourney Weaver film was released first, Alien or Aliens?
May I?
Please.
Yeah, because I always thought it was one of the cooler bits of marketing that rather than be Alien 2, that it was Alien. So the sequel just had an S on the end, and I always thought that was quite subtle. Alien was the original.
Yes, indeed. Very well done.
I would not have known that. That's great.
Oh, good. Lucky Charlie's here.
I know that because I saw Aliens at Angus Ross's birthday party, and we were all definitely too young to watch Aliens, and it kind of messed me up a bit for life.
Yeah.
So Aliens was very much burned into my memory, so I remember it very
clearly. Do you want to have a swing at what years they each came out?
Ooh.
Wow.
Or how many other things do you know about the films Alien and Aliens?
I know the director is Ridley Scott.
Yeah, of the first one.
I mean, as far as facts go, that's probably the limit. I'm not a boffin in any regard.
Talk about the root of the word alien.
Oh, yeah.
Being Al for beyond. This is what I just learned in my This Jungian Life podcast episode, which I adore.
Wow, no, share that. What's the root of the word alien?
Yeah, they were talking about it in the context of the word alienation, but al being just simply meaning beyond. And I thought, isn't that interesting when you think about aliens and, you know, this fascination with the beyond? What was the art direction in Alien? I might be overstepping the content advice here, but with the art direction, and it has like alternating phalluses.
What, the alien in Aliens had alternating
phalluses?
No,
the background has
alternating phalluses.
Is this this thing or have I made it up?
I know what you mean. It's, what was the artist?
Yes, thank you.
It's Geiger.
Thank
it's,
you.
It's,
yes, thank
yeah,
you. Yes.
It's this, H.R. Geiger. Who he's a Swiss artist, apparently.
In the throne kind of room, where there's a throne situation, and there is like alternating, I want to say inverted penises,
yeah,
but I don't think it's
like the background to be kind of architectural.
Yes.
But they are, if you step back and take it all in, they're clearly phalluses.
So that would be, when it comes to strictly speaking about the movie, literally the one fact I know about.
Yeah. So Alien was released in 1979 and was directed, you're right, by Ridley Scott. Aliens was directed by James Cameron.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Wow.
And came out in 1986.
Do you know, they were literally the years I was going to guess, but I didn't want to. Here we go. Didn't want to find myself. Always That's guess. The little red pull down. Yeah, yeah. I should have guessed. Yep. Yeah, I did know that. I did know that.
Yeah. And Sigourney Weaver got an Oscar nomination for the sequel. Mm. And do you know Sigourney Weaver's real name?
Oh,
it's not Sigourney.
I mean, I was going to say, it's always worth guessing. I was going to say Sigourney Weaver. It'd be amazing if her real name.
Chose Sigourney.
If her real name was Jackie. Would be remarkable. She was Jackie Weaver.
She was Jackie Weaver. Her real name is Susan Alexandra Weaver.
Oh.
She chose Sigourney from The Great Gatsby.
What does this?
Apparently there's a minor character called Sigourney in The Great Gatsby.
I would never have remembered that.
No.
We do play a game.
Yeah.
Well, we play a game. Shall we talk?
No, absolutely. You have to now.
Okay. It's called Springsteen because it initially started with Bruce Springsteen. And after you have a glass of wine or two, you can go to the Wikipedia page of a random person like Bruce Springsteen. And then you have to, well, there's two ways you can play it. The first one is like you come up, you have to not know anything about the biography of this person to start with. And then you have to piece together either together or, you know, one
Normally
at a time.
Normally we competitively guess.
Yeah, no, but that's just us.
Yeah.
But, or you could collaborate, which would be more wholesome. Into the most plausible biography of that person. So, you know, where were they born? When? What did their parents do?
What was the name of their high school?
What did they do? Did they go to uni? All of these things. And then after you've kind of cobbled together what you really think fits that person's profile, then you go through and you see how much you got right.
Oh,
the other version, which is kind of more fun, is if you try to trick the other person by saying facts. And this depends a lot on the performance, like how plausibly you can be like, you know, Bruce Springsteen went to, you know, Princeton. And then the other person has to say true or false.
It's like a reverse Who Am I from Sailor of the Century.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
We know who and we make up the rest.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
I like that.
But there's nothing more exciting than you know that Steve Miller grew up in Wisconsin. Or like you guessed that, you know, and you just go, unbelievable.
Yeah.
How did I get that?
That's
right?
I discovered the other day that Jack Black's mother. Did you see this
on
social media? But his mother was a NASA engineer and she was responsible for, you know, some particular algorithm or something for Apollo 13. So she helped with that.
Wow.
See, that would be a perfect Springsteen fact. You'd be like,
yeah.
Jack Black's mother worked for NASA.
You're like, no way.
You'd be like, yes.
All right, here we go. Question number two. We haven't got
that
very
didn't,
far
That
at
didn't
all.
Take long. That didn't take long to get one down.
The speed of flying. Light.
Question number two. Okay. Who has been deputy leader of the Australian Labor Party since May 2019? Charlie, do a satirical news show.
I'm pretty sure I know this, and I almost said the wrong person. He's from Queensland.
No.
He's not from Queensland.
He might seem to be from Queensland.
Oh, wow. This is.
But you are right. It is a male.
It's a male because Tanya Plibersek didn't go for the job or stood down from the job.
Yeah.
Much to great disappointment in many circles.
Yeah.
I really should know this, but do you know what? More than anything, this is a damning indictment on Labor that I don't know this because I know the political scene relatively well.
Yeah.
Is it Miles?
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is Richard Miles. And he's he represents the seat of Corio, which is Geelong.
Corio.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Corio in Geelong. Yeah.
How embarrassing for me.
Yeah,
who
actually
made up
not
that pronunciation.
Yeah.
Corio? That makes no sense.
Although it feels so Aussie to say.
Corio.
You can imagine that being an Arnott's biscuit, can't you?
Yes.
Grab yourself Corio. A Corio.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Arnott's but everyone Corio. Would call it a Corio. Everyone outside of Victoria would call it a Corio.
We had a fight at work once about a Calipo versus a Calipo.
Calipo? Who's calling it a Calipo?
I call it Calipo.
Oh, do you?
Is it Calipo?
I say Calipo.
It's Calipo.
It's a Calipo.
Wow.
Don't take advice on pronunciation from me, although I did know Corio. But...
Anyway, this has already sparked massive debate on social media as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
People are debating Calipo versus Calipo. I remember it from the ads when I was a kid. I swear they said Calipo.
But it's got that double P, doesn't it?
Does it? If it Calipo. Does, then I withdraw, Your Honour. I
I don't think it has a double P.
Are you going to check?
He's checking, but like I feel like if you check, you might.
No, we are checking.
Yeah, this is very outside of. This has nothing to do with Richard Marx.
It has a double P. I withdrew. Oh. That's unbelievably. That's so embarrassing. I'm so sorry, but I did get the question right. I do want to point that out.
Yeah,
you did.
Can I point out? I was more confident of the pronunciation of Gallipo than I was of Richard Marx being the opposition leader.
Yeah.
Deputy opposition leader.
Yeah. All right, question number three. In which war was the Battle of the Bulge fought?
The Battle of the Bulge was World War II.
It was World War II. Do you know where it was? Whereabouts?
Battle of the Bulge is, it was through the forests of Belgium, I believe.
Very good, yes.
The Ardennes? Is it the Ardennes?
Yes. You're absolutely spot on.
I mean, I have to just say at this stage, this quiz has played to my strengths well.
He has a big World War II interest.
Oh, really?
Shout out to Anthony Beaver right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
And also the great TV series, Band of Brothers, which is about... Mm. Fighting through the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Do you know where the name The Bulge came from? Oh. Why it's called the Battle of the Bulge?
No, that's great.
You can probably guess.
I would guess that it was like the forested area was like, it bulged out of the fortified lines of the Maginot Line, and that forest was actually a literal bulge out of fortifications that Germans had. If you were going to make it into Germany,
you're pretty much right. It got its name from the shape, as depicted on maps, of the German troops as they broke through the Allied lines.
Yeah,
very well done. All right, and we're up to question number four, which is the sports question.
Oh, shit.
All yours.
It is. Question number four. Name the winger who scored twice on debut for New South Wales in the State of Origin series opener in Townsville last week. And there's actually a bonus point for naming the final score.
Oh.
Do you watch the State of Origin?
I do not.
No, I used to watch it a bit when I worked with some people who were from Sydney, so it was big for them. And also when I lived in Sydney, I'd go to the pub and watch it. But I can categorically say I have seen those two tries a number of times, and I could not tell you the guy's name.
Can we have a clue?
It's Delio Johnson O'Daly or something like. It's got a bit of a like.
Oh, you're
no, I can't.
You might Obeckin of Tom Trbojevic.
Yeah, no, I am. So no, it's not the
it's
guy
not
on
Tom
debut.
Trbojevic. Because
am I right? He's an indigenous player.
He's not.
Or island?
He has.
See, now I'm in
Samoan
trouble.
Samoan
right
and
over
Chinese
my, Samoan.
Heritage.
Samoan and Chinese heritage.
BT are his initials.
I got nothing.
No, it's like Tanu or Tanu. Like
it's not going to happen here.
I've only embarrassed myself guessing.
His
but the score was something like.
Oh, yes.
The score was enormous to very little. It was like. It was something embarrassing like. 56-4 or something like that.
Oh,
it was like
you're very
58,
close.
58-7 or something.
It wasn't quite that much. It was 50-6.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is very embarrassing.
Just extraordinary for Queensland.
But what's his name?
His name is Brian Tuo.
Oh.
So Brian and then T-O apostrophe O.
Uh-huh. Well, we at least took a long time not knowing that.
Do you know which team he plays for in the NRL?
No, I would guess. Why not guess?
Have a guess.
The Canberra Raiders.
He's not a Canberra Raider. He currently plays for the Penrith Panthers in the NRL.
Who are having a perfect season. I know that about the Penrith Panthers.
Well, they were up until 2 weeks ago when all their star players were...
Had to go and play in the Origin.
Had to play in Origin and... My team, the West Tigers, beat them. So I was very happy about that.
That is exciting.
Yeah.
The head writer of the weekly, James Colley, is a dedicated Panthers fan.
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, vicariously kind of makes me a Panthers fan, just for him.
That's lovely.
You know.
That's cool.
Yes. James has been on this podcast.
Ah.
Yeah.
And how did he go?
Don't worry about that.
I'll have to go back and check.
I'll go back and have a listen. Yeah. No, it's fine.
Question number five. In the imperial system of measures, how many inches are in a foot?
Well done.
I concur. Yes. That's your American upbringing coming to
there
the table.
Yeah.
I still think in inches and feet.
Do you know when metrication happened in Australia?
Yeah, I do. 1966.
Well, that's when currency was...
Oh, currency. Oh, that, yeah. Currency went decimal in 66.
That's right, on the 14th of February, 1966.
But was that not meant that wasn't metric?
I think it would have been after that, no?
It is a little bit after that. It was 1971.
Ah, there you go. So, yeah.
But you got the question right. There are 12 inches in a foot. We're going to take another little break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Saturday Quiz. My guests are Sarah Krasnostein and Charlie Pickering. We're up to question number 6. What is the full name of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's second child?
Okay.
Lilibet.
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 Diana.
Diana. And then it takes it up a notch there. It stops being a person's name. At that point, isn't it?
It's just a sound.
Winchester or it's Windsor.
No, it's not. I don't.
It ends in Windsor.
It ends in Windsor.
Yeah.
Is it Mountbatten?
Mountbatten is the right answer.
Windsor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lilibet, Lily, Diana, Mountbatten, Windsor. Very well done.
That's my name too.
Staggering coincidence.
All right. Well, here's a question that probably plays a little bit more to your upbringing. Which is question number 7. Which 3 US states have just 4 letters in their name?
That's interesting. Utah. Oh, jinx. Iowa.
Iowa.
Ohio.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's 3.
Yeah, 3. It was 3 that have 4 letters.
All right.
Yeah. Have you been to any of those 3 states?
You've been to Ohio.
I've been to Ohio.
What did you do there?
I went to an Obama rally in 2012 for his re-election.
Uh-huh.
And it was in a ice hockey rink
mm-hmm.
in Columbus, Ohio, which is a bit of a college town. It's yep. quite a lovely town. But I learned a lesson about American celebrity and showbiz that day. So to give you some idea, the undercard of the speeches was like the governor of Ohio and a local senator and, you know, a few political speeches. But then was the show. And the show went Jay-Z, Bruce Springsteen, then Obama.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know two bigger, more famous people than Jay-Z and Bruce Springsteen. This is insane.
Wow.
But without a doubt, the famous person in that room was Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And it was wild to see. Like,
yeah.
You can imagine Jay-Z and Springsteen out the back going, we didn't get an applause like that. That was amazing. It was a very cool experience.
Wow. That's really cool. All right, question number 8. What do Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly have in common?
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. So what do these 5 people have in common? 5 women, Mary Ann Nichols, Annie Chapman, Elizabeth Stride, Catherine Eddowes, and Mary Jane Kelly. What do they have in common?
Do you have any idea?
No, I have no. I'm coming up with nothing here.
So when I hear a list like that, I feel like they could be victims of a serial killer, which is a damning indictment on violence against women. I just want to say that.
Hmm.
Or they could all have been like governors or...
Like sports people or...
Your first impulse, Charlie, was exactly right.
Really? So... Victims of a serial killer.
Yeah.
Can I ask for one hint?
Yeah.
Domestic or international?
Yeah.
International. And some time ago.
May I?
Yes, no, please, I've got nothing.
Is yet. It, I think it's a Ripper.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's either the Yorkshire Ripper or the Jack the Ripper. And I think Jack,
there's only 2 Rippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're 100% correct.
So do you...
It would be Yorkshire, I think. Is it Yorkshire?
Jack the Ripper.
No, yes.
It is?
Jack.
Oh, my God.
It's Jack the Ripper, yeah.
That's startling. I can't believe that you got that.
Well, No, it's just when you hear a list of women who you haven't heard of that are part of a collector group.
It's really weird.
It's just like...
deeply weird.
It's just a logical process, but yeah.
Is it, though? Really? I'm feeling very weird about it.
I mean, they're sort of old-fashioned-y names. As well. Mm.
Edo's.
Edo's, yeah.
They were Irish-sounding names as well. So maybe that's his demographic. Well, no, I mean...
His demographic.
Well...
It is... I do want to say I think it's very sad that by a process of logic and like probability, I was led to that conclusion.
Yeah.
We'll discuss it later. That's so weird. So creepy.
All right. Question number 9. Which sauce... contains butter, hollandaise or mayonnaise?
Oh, hollandaise.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Mayo is more oil based, right?
They're very similar, but you're right. Mm. Hollandaise is with butter and mayonnaise is made with oil. Mm. Do you know the other ingredients?
Well, hollandaise would have like vinegar.
Yeah.
Butter.
And one more thing, really.
Egg yolk.
Exactly. They both have egg yolk and an acid, usually vinegar or lemon. Mm. And hollandaise has butter in it.
Huge fan of both.
Are you?
A love story to both butter and oil.
A shout out to both the mayonnaise and hollandaise communities.
It turns out the secret was just butter.
Yeah, butter. Yeah. Put butter on anything. Hollandaise is one of the 5 mother sauces of French cuisine.
Mother sauce.
Yeah, are you familiar with the mother sauces?
No, it's the first time. Unless it's like a Zappa band, then no.
No, that as kind of written in Le Guide Culinaire, which is a cuisine guide by Auguste Escoffier, first published in 1903. It was a cooking book, a cookbook. Where he had a whole bunch of recipes and whatnot, but he nominated 5 mother sauces in French cuisine. But in the French edition, hollandaise's place on the list was actually taken by mayonnaise.
Oh!
Hollandaise is usually served hot or warm, whereas mayonnaise is a cold sauce.
Delicious.
Delicious indeed. we're up to the final question. We're up to question number 10, which is, what does the acronym ATAGI stand for? ATAGI. Do you know? It's sort of been in the news recently.
Yeah. I've heard it.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Could we have a hint about like the general industrial context?
Well, it's been in the news recently given the worldwide pandemic.
Mm. Do you think the A stands for Australia? I mean, like Australian.
It does stand for Australian.
Okay. Australian.
Transport Australian.
It's not transport.
Guild.
Go with what the I might be in regards
international.
To.
Infection.
International. Or,
no, not international and not infection. But something to fight infection or deny infection.
Immunology.
You're on the right
Guilds
track.
Guilds of Immunologists. The Australian Trans-Australian Guild of Immunologists.
The Australian Trans-Australian Guild.
Guild of Immunologists.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how fun it is. Lock it in. That's a good answer. It's great.
It's great. A good answer.
Stands up to scrutiny. Okay. Australian Trans-Australian Guild of Immunology.
Yep.
The last word is immunisation.
Okay.
And the first word is Australian. Guild is, you've got the right idea with the G, but guild is not.
We need more guild.
By the right idea for the G, you mean we used a word beginning with G?
No. I mean it could slightly be interchangeable with this word.
Group.
Group is the right answer.
It's so boring. Why use group when you can use guild?
Something advisory group.
Yes, Australian something.
Therapeutic advisory group for immunology.
Not therapeutic.
Australian.
You're so close.
And not Australian Trans-Australian.
Trade.
The Australian...
Something Advisory Group on Immunisation.
Top. Australian Top Advisory Group on Immunisation.
I might have to tell you, he is technical. The Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation.
If ever there was a group that needed to spice up, then they...
They should be a guild.
Well, that's why they
go called themselves Sigourney. They should have chosen Sigourney instead. Atagi's not bad, but...
Yeah.
God,
the
wouldn't
Society
you? I'd rather take
for
advice
Immunisation
from
Guild. Can we wedge Sigourney in there somewhere? There's a lot of letters in Sigourney.
No, I think just, you know, just Sigourney.
Yeah.
Just like Beyonce or Sade.
Right. Well, now I'll know what
a target is. Yeah, when it's mentioned on the news, you'll know exactly what it is. We're going to take one more break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sarah Krasnostein, Charlie Pickering, well done.
Thank you. What?
You did really well.
Did we get eight?
I feel we could have done better. Like, I could have done better, I think.
Yeah. What, without me dragging you down?
No. I wish we could have cobbled it together from all the past questions that we have gotten right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid the quiz doesn't work that way, but,
no.
But sure.
Sadly.
We should start a quiz takers guild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you going to do now on Saturday morning?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, we're going to do it in front of other people who aren't aware of this podcast.
We're just going to blitz it. A six-year-old and a one-year-old.
Yeah, that's right.
I hope you, whoever you do it with, I hope you then tell them about the podcast.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I just think it's good evidence that we worked well together and achieved a positive outcome.
That was
terrific.
Well done. Okay. Thank you for appearing together.
Thank you for having us.
This was really good fun.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Johnny.
We didn't embarrass ourselves.
It's been an absolute treat. That's the Saturday quiz for yet another week. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really very grateful to all of you who keep coming back to catch every episode. There are now over 40 episodes of this podcast, so if you've missed any, go back and check them out. There will be a test at the end. Thank you to my guests this week, Sarah Krasnostein and Charlie Pickering. Track down Sarah's books, The Trauma Cleaner and The Believer. She's a fantastic writer. You won't be disappointed. Thank you to Cindy McDonald for writing the questions, which you can find online at thesaturdaypaper.com.au/quiz. And lock in your answers in your head like Charlie does before revealing the correct ones. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.